Two more examples of spiritual bypassing that might not be quite as obvious. Excuse me. Number two, weak boundaries. Robert Masters calls this being a harmony junkie. So Unitarian Universalist churches can be quite susceptible to this one. We have these great values of love and tolerance. Great values, a wide welcome. But sometimes UU churches can distort those values into showing blind compassion and neurotic tolerance for behavior that is actually very damaging. I'm so proud of the work this church has done in this area. We have learned in recent years in particular that we cannot live out our value of radical welcome if we allow unwelcoming people to degrade that spirit of welcome. When someone's behavior is offensive or disruptive, it is spiritual bypassing to say, let's just not take it personally. Or they're just doing the best they can. Or we just need to love them more, which in this case means letting them hurt us. It is actually more loving. I wrote a whole sermon about this, if this is hard to wrap your brain around. But it's actually more loving to set boundaries than to avoid or to be nice. Many times, this kind of spiritual bypassing is strengthened by difficult childhoods, where we may have learned that saying no to someone who inevitably had more power than us, resulted in shaming at best and violence at worst. So keeping things harmonious was a survival technique, a good one. But now that we are older, and unless we truly are in a life or death situation, we can develop other ways of relating. We can see that true harmony comes from setting boundaries, from saying no when needed, from holding each other accountable to our values. On the other side of this same coin can be the steamrolling of boundaries, avoiding taking responsibility for our actions. We can try to avoid blame by saying, they just shouldn't take it personally, or that boundary doesn't apply to me. Unfortunately, this can happen with spiritual leaders who deny the inherent power dynamics their profession brings and think it's all right to cross boundaries, sexual or relational, with people whom they serve. So there's a second. Weak boundaries. Or steamrolling boundaries. Which is the same. So the third and final example of spiritual bypassing. The absolute belief, again, the belief taken absolutely, that our thoughts create our world. Back in the 90s, I think, a book came out called The Secret that developed this belief for a lot of folks in a very absolute way. So this belief is that everything in our lives happens because of our attitudes. Again, spiritual bypassing is about the misuse or distortion of spiritual tools. So yes, it's fine and good to believe that our outlook can affect our experience. I think scientists have even proven this to a certain extent. But when we use that absolute belief to legitimize others' suffering or our own, it's harmful. I remember hearing from someone very close to me that the Jews brought the Holocaust on themselves because they saw themselves as a chosen, set-apart people. Talk about letting Nazis off the hook. A similar belief is at work in the judgment that all poor people bring poverty on themselves. The prosperity gospel, unfortunately preached in many churches, says that it's within your power, regardless of the circumstances you were born into, to attract as much wealth as you want, just based on your outlook. Same thing goes for, you know, people who say, well, this illness came into your life because of your attitude. If we believe that everything is everyone's own fault, there is no accountability in the world for hurting one another, personally or systemically. There's no grace. There's no forgiveness or responsibility. So a related form of spiritual bypassing in this area is the worship of coincidence. So yes, when I see a cardinal, I like to think that my grandmother, who loved cardinals, is with me. This kind of thinking can help us embrace the interdependence in the world, the mystery, and the connection. But, again, taken to its extreme, it becomes the belief that everything that happens is about us. Yes, we can make meaning from everything that happens, and synchronicity probably exists, but let's just keep it in perspective. Also related is the belief that everything happens for a reason or that God controls everything. And I tread lightly here because I know that to some, these beliefs are quite sustaining. But again, it's about whether these beliefs are used to sidestep real life, to repress pain and discomfort. So I especially cringe when I hear these beliefs used in the presence of others' pain. For example, when someone whose child has just died hears the words, "God just needed another angel," or "God doesn't give us more than we can handle," or "This must be in your karma." This is spiritual bypassing because it usually keeps us from being truly present to the person in their grief, which I think is what God would actually prefer. Others' pain often brings up our own past pains, and so it's kind of just the human predicament to try to find ways to sugarcoat that pain. But if, after being present with their own pain, the grieving person themselves decides that such a belief in God's will gives them true comfort, that is fine. The journey there just often includes being present with the inevitable rawness of the process. So there are just three examples of spiritual bypassing. I'll mention a few more just in name so we get a sense of it. Robert Masters, who wrote the recent book on spiritual bypassing, adds these to those I've already listed. He adds, cognitive intelligence being far ahead of emotional and moral intelligence, debilitating judgment about one's negativity or shadow side, devaluation of the personal relative to the spiritual, and delusions of having arrived at a higher level of being. I'd add even two more, a worship of the individual at the expense of the community, and the belief that we've transcended our personal histories. Instead, we can cultivate an ongoing understanding of our personal histories and how they affect us. So this sermon comes out of our third principle in this church, acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. So with spiritual bypassing, let us accept with compassion that the spiritual bypasser lives in all of us, as we all sometimes shy away from the pains of life. But let us also encourage ourselves and one another to spiritual growth. As Robert Masters says, our times call for a spirituality far more real, grounded, and responsible, something radically alive and naturally integral, something that shakes us to our very core. So when you are like Korah and feel the tendency to cover over that well of sadness with a quick, "That's okay," may you know that what the sacred probably rather calls you to do is just to sit in her lap and have a good cry. Afterwards, you might find yourself much more able to get up, go out, and play. May it be so.